our future creates tyranny, okay? Being time travelers, they've come back to find out what happened, and they are now in the process, and they're not the only ones, of to manipulate and intervene so that tyranny does not get out of control in their present time.
What your intention is. So if your intention is to in some way try to be part of a healing force for Mother Earth, then to in a way that has meaning for you and your integrity, open up that doorway to be able to sit with spirit, so to speak, and say that great spirit, I'd like to be part of a healing force, and I'm not sure how to do that. It's really confusing. I'm not sure how to do it in a good way that's respectful, what to do, what group to join, what group not to join, what to say, the questions you raise. The starting place is taking responsibility for what you want, your intention, the desire to be part of that, and then to own what's true, that you don't know, you're confused, and not try to force an answer from the rational mind, from the intellect, but to surrender to spirit and ask in humility through accepting that you don't know what to do. Through accepting that you don't know what to do, for guidance, help me to open up to what it is you would have me do, not what I think is the best thing to do.
WZBC, trying to put the broadcast out tonight such that not everybody can get it. This is not mass media. It's not a gated community either. And there's no industry behind us. Behind our bodies. I'm going to try to go through the little spaces. Adam Newton, 90.3 FM, tri-state area, on the surface, using radio. And I think we're offline right now for God knows what reason. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman speaking to Earth beings. And if we're lucky, maybe we'll become out of our minds later. Oh well, what are you going to do? 617-552-4686. Email for me, GaryG4@Mac.com. I mean, I won't actually get your email, but I'll get a facsimile thereof reproduced in my very own home. And if we were online, it would be .org. Of course, you need some sort of digital machine to pick that up, unless you have a very strange dentist. Or we're on a battlefield somewhere. A military expo, as it were, where strange devices not yet released to those who paid for them are being exhibited and sold, American.
The different ways you would touch me through my feelings, through my mind, through my dreams, through my intuition.
In that, in coming back here, they have not only discovered things that they did not know or were forgotten, which is probably a better way to say it, that were forgotten, but they've also come to realize that on many of these planets, they have come across a human race that they consider to be genetic royalty. And I am also including our race in this. They literally consider us royalty because our some genetics, the total genetics in all of our races on this planet, are the sum total of 22 different extraterrestrial races.
The glass of the bubble is also given a static electrical charge. The static charge in the target bubble allows the bubble to be propelled and injected into the torus at high speed by electrical pulses in the same polarity as the charge on the glass. This type of electrical propulsion is utilized on the Earth by a device called a railgun.
She's supposed to be liking Jermaine, and he didn't like that.
Derek had, it was the weirdest thing, he had a love-hate relationship for black, that sense of blackness. He was in awe of them, and yet he was very intimidated and afraid of them.
All right, keep moving, Rocket. I am a nightmare walking, psychopath talking, king of my jungle, just a gangster stalking, living life like a firecracker, quick as my fuse, vendetta to death, back to colors I choose. Color.
Some of those movies, like Colors and that, you know, he was just so into him. He'd watch him time and time again. He would make comments, and then when I would correct him, he would come back at me with things like, well, you don't understand, Miss Spencer, because it's the N-I-G-G-E-R's, they get all the, and then he always referred to women as bitches, they get all the bitches, they get all the money, they get all the good drugs, and he was real, real resentful of blacks.
Probably because of his anger with the Africans, African Americans, for doing that to him.
So after his falling out with Chaz and the GD, he
started getting some hatred towards him, probably.
I certainly think that the murder of Jazz was probably partially motivated by the fact that Jazz was black. And I think we're kidding ourselves if we don't think that is true.
Which makes Kinney's involvement very complex.
Extremely complex and bizarre.
The fact that they're not accurate means that you're constantly being exposed to things that you wouldn't have intended to be exposed to.
That's sort of the issue right there. Does the internet lead to more surprise, more discovery, more street corner accidents than it does to fanaticism?
It does for me. And also, you know, once this probably doesn't say much about the rank and file believer, your average brown shirt. But for me, as somebody whose views are fairly well known, and I would think it might be also true for Professor Sunstein, and I'd like to hear what he has to say. But I find that having views that are well known in cyberspace means that I get a huge amount of contradicting, inflammatory, often threatening mail. And I have to deal with those interventions. Mm-hmm. And I don't find it sufficient to flame back. I want to try to engage the person who doesn't like what I have to say and find out why he doesn't like it.
As the target bubble revolves at high speed around the torus, it is subjected to centrifugal force. The heaviest material, which is mercury, will crawl up the inner wall of the bubble and take the shape of the parabolic reflecting mirror. The carbon dioxide will then form into a layer next to the mercury, and the deuterium will stratify in a layer next to the carbon dioxide.
Say water creature living in a realm of the amniotic fluid and so forth, and then coming out, becoming an air-breathing mammal that ultimately will be self-standing and so forth. This is an enormous transformation, and it is a heroic act, and it's a heroic act on the mother's part to bring it about.
That pulls the white bag. Down she goes. Meanwhile, Wes has spotted our target croc.
Oh, I see. Holy snap and duck. Have a look at that. Look at that right here.
Looks like he's checking us out. It's probably his curiosity that got him into trouble in the first place. He's a big one, all right. At least a 14-footer.
We're up to the final job now, placing the bait.
is a feral pig. Big saltwater crocs find these irresistible.
Private power, highly concentrated, unaccountable private power, highly concentrated, unaccountable private power determines what goes on. Vast private power, nobody has a word to say about it, nobody knows anything about it. Highly concentrated, vast, unaccountable private power. Nobody has a word to say about it. Nobody knows anything about it. Concentrated, unaccountable, vast totalitarian system. Nobody has a word to say about it. And for the most part, nobody knows anything about it. Highly concentrated, vast, unaccountable private power. Vast totalitarian control. Vast, concentrated, totalitarian, unaccountable private power determines what goes on. Nobody knows anything about it. Vast move towards a kind of totalitarian system. This is a business-run society. Unaccountable business-run society. Unaccountable business-run society. And that's a level of totalitarian control that has very rarely been reached in the world, if ever. Vast move towards a kind of totalitarian system in which highly concentrated, unaccountable private power determines what goes on. Nobody has a word to say about it. For the most part, nobody knows anything about it. And this is expected to continue. Highly concentrated, vast move towards unaccountable private business-run society. Nobody has a word to say about it. Vast private power. And that's a level of highly concentrated, vast, unaccountable private power and totalitarian control that has very rarely been reached in the world, if ever. This is a vast, unaccountable totalitarian system. Nobody has a word to say about it. Nobody has a word to say about it. Nobody has a word to say about it. Nobody knows anything about it. Nobody knows anything about it. Nobody knows anything about it. This is a totalitarian system, and this is expected to continue. Private power determines what goes on. Private power determines what goes on. Private power determines what goes on. Private power determines what goes on.
There is nothing left.
private power, private power. That's totalitarian control, totalitarian system. That's totalitarian control, totalitarian system. This is a business run society.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that what she said? I'm sorry.
Because the prophecy that she's interested in is that the splitting of Megiddo is supposed to happen in the last battle, where you know the Jews are all around the mountain, the great mountain, and supposedly Jesus rides down from the sky on a beam of light and a great white horse with a fiery sword with a name no man had known, with a crown upon his head, faithful and true written upon his thigh, and he gallops down the beam of white light with the saucers and the whirlwinds at his heel, and supposedly takes this flaming sword and splits open the hill of Megiddo, and the children run into it, and then he basically just slaughters everybody in the valley of Megiddo.
Very weak anti-gravity pushing the galaxies apart.
We'll come back to that.
Difficult, but again, you know, dark energy and dark matter are very new. Dark energy was more or less confirmed just this year. That's why, it made the front page of the New York Times last month, and it's still very new, but I think high schools have to get with the program. The universe is not completely made out of atoms, and there's not a perfect vacuum between these atoms.
Well, I mean...
That's in a nutshell the wrap-up of global history according to the Bible.
Side of paradise. Incidentally, this is recently out in a vintage edition. And though Fitzgerald had died almost 10 years earlier, the April 16, 1949 issue of Collier's contained a Fitzgerald short story, The Last Kiss, and so on. I mean, Bud Schoberg wrote The Disenchanted in 1950, and in 1951, Scribner's brought out a new edition of Tender is the Night, with the author's final revisions and with a distinguished introduction by Malcolm Cowley. This is the edition which I am using here. In the same year, Cowley edited a collection of 28 of the short stories. In 1957, Arthur Meisner brought out another series of stories called Afternoon of an Author. Jason Robard was it 1958 and 9, starred on Broadway in a play about Fitzgerald. In 1958, Sheila Graham and Gerald Frank turned out The Beloved, and this was made into a movie, sort of. Fitzgerald's return to grace is pretty well indicated, I think, by the fact that such short stories as The Diamond as Big as the Ritz, The Ice Palace, and Babylon Revisited are regularly taught today in freshman English courses.
Thank you. When the war ended, he was made commander of a U.S. Naval Air Station in Canada. Several years later, still in his early 30s, he was appointed to the rank of lieutenant commander.
There is a great deal of space within an individual atom, as well as between atoms. This space is vast on the atomic level. But it shrinks during adiabatic compression. The key is to make the compression so extreme that the space between the electron and proton would shrink to the point at which the two particles are nearly touch.
Of our genetic extraterrestrial heritage.
We created this field machine. It's like a field resonant generator. It's about two stories tall. And we obviously wanted to go into the future.
Primary hero form, you might say.
Still a journey to be taken after that.
There's a big one to be taken. And
you might as well ask who's behind the giant rat of Sumatra.
Oh, very well, Stones. Who's behind is the giant rat of Sumatra.
Damn, you're fat, Swallow.
What?
Fast, fat, and
oh.
But I shall never be tricked into telling a tale for which the world is not yet prepared.
Can you swim in the pond? Are you that brick in the wall? Will your building respond to the pressure? Walking with the strength of my predecessor, ancient. I never walk alone. I'm up against the stereo, monotypical. Visualizing wealth is not applicable now. My brain cries out for me to read. With movement inspired by Jonesy D and Benji Reed. The globe keeps spinning.
The whole damn world is.
But I ain't moving.
Excuse me?
We can't keep joking.
No, no, no.
Break the lock if the door's not open now.
Break it down,
the globe keeps spinning.
The whole damn world is.
But I ain't moving.
Excuse me?
We can't keep joking.
No, no, no.
Break the lock if the door's not open now. Concepts get abandoned with no gloves. Traditional trends evaporate like soap suds. The inner city whirlpool will suck you up like a person with a temper can pop you up, right? Time to bring it back down to syndromes. Custard in your eye like Bugsy Malone. You need to stay calm with napalm attached to you. Embrace arm of gasoline, strike a match to you. Now do you feel enlightened? Well, I don't, and I'm the one writing anything. Versus everything really means nothing. Can't be a king peacock, I hate strutting dressed up. Semi jiggy, I might frustrate something. A lion in a wardrobe is ready to break something. Mr. Fantastic Fox, the awkward individual that makes the whitish hot. My jazz addiction is a premonition of war. Invisible tussles appear on the dance floor. The sweat breaks to the beat.
Freak say that because I've been interested in the stock market since I was 15 years old, and I would actually, when I was in high school and college,
go back into the library and read through old newspaper accounts of the famous crashes in the 19th century or 1929 as an example. So when the 1987 crash occurred, and at that time I was a professional trader working at First Boston, and I was right in the middle of it, at one point when I realized that the market was down over 20% on a day, and I realized that the largest single daily decline in 1929 had been only slightly over 12%, I said, wow, this is an important event. And I guess you could say that my knowledge of history and the fact that I'd spent so much time for my personal interest in studying stock market history caused me to look at an event in my professional life differently than I might otherwise have done.
Well, tell me more about what that day was like for you. Did you lose a lot of money personally? Did your clients lose a lot of money? What was on the line for you?
Well, basically, as a professional trader, I was trading for the firm's account. At that time, it was First Boston. You know, later, I moved to Goldman Sachs. So I was trading the firm's money. It wasn't really clients' money. And the kind of products that I was trading at that time, which were stocks and then convertible bonds relative to stocks, actually didn't do that badly because, in a sense, we were playing relationships between different kinds of securities as opposed to just being, you know, owning stocks and watching them go down.
Then we'd better be prepared for thin times, old scout. There's only a spoon of cocoa left in the can.
Yes, to live, a rat must chew.
So must we all. We eat or we die, eh?
I did not say eat. I said chew.
Placed around the rim, and this rubber suction top provides a perfect seal. Today, food conservation is imperative. Now, fruit and leftovers of sundry varieties can keep close company with individuality maintained by the odorless, non-tainting suction rims, which can be used for years. Many kitchen operations can be hazardous for the inexperienced housewife. This clever new gadget, resembling a king-size medicine dropper, quickly bastes fowl and meat, ending the danger of burns. The adjustable broiler simplifies this job. With such a bird well in hand, modern kitchen science scores another important victory.
Teachings that taught us there is no future. So the effect was that light disappeared. For those of you that haven't seen the book, it's like a large octahedron, a pyramid on the top, pyramid on the bottom, shaped vehicle. It was an actual vehicle with a complete fuselage and a complete working surfaces and, you know, different, you know, generators, which is all in the book. So we excited these different fields, and we were able to break away from this lock of consciousness that we all are connected to right now, and we noticed that light disappeared. We went into kind of like a black void.
Is not consciously undertaken. Do heroes go out on their own initiative?
Well, there are both kinds. A very common one that appears in Celtic myths of someone who has followed the lure of a deer or animal that he has been following, and then carries him into a range of forest and landscape that he's never been in before, and then the animal will undergo a transformation and become the queen of the fairy hills or something like that.
It's a little fanciful, and I'm not sure it actually all comes down that way. The other thing is too is that the prediction would be is that once the Second Temple of Solomon is rebuilt on the Dome of the Rock, the Alabaster Temple Mosque, that the Antichrist, which would be a some people believe would be this the Nostradamus man in the blue turban, the Persian prince, would then put together an Islamic army and defeat Jerusalem, defeat the Israelis, march into that area, and then actually use the Ark of the Covenant to power some, you know, gigantic world beast supercomputer in that area.
Help me to open myself to your guidance about how I can walk a healing path in this life.
Gesundheit, of course. Gesundheit, Dankeschön, the ship's Prussian captain. Frigate.
Oh, really, Stone?
Frigate Matilda, flying for illicit trade in rubber goods and spiders up and down the Mokujava Strait from Singapore to Sinatra. Frankly, Flotsam, it's all beginning to make sense.
The extraterrestrial ignition method is two-staged. If the bubble is fired on soon after it is injected into the torus, the artificially stimulated resonant frequencies of the neodinethium glass bubble and the carbon dioxide glass will assist in producing a hotter first-stage ignition. Even if the laser firing is delayed and the resonant frequencies of these materials dissipate, the first and second ignition stages will be hot enough to produce an adequate propulsion plasma.
Leto, who'd already known these things, had nodded his gratitude at the wisdom of such instruction. But Stilgar's voice could be filled with many valuable things. There were, in olden times, certain tribes which were known to be water hunters. They were called Idwali, which meant water insects, because those people wouldn't hesitate to steal the water of another Fremen. If they caught you alone in the desert, they would not even leave you the water of your flesh.
And to some extent, it certainly justifies Kinney's concern that he had to become involved in this crime, or he would himself be a victim.
Humanity.
des transportes comme un atlas de mon support sur lesquels les uns s'endorment volontiers se téléportent aux heures de pointe et mauvaises odeurs on scotchine esquive la sueur des autres on s'agglutine.
He told me how your jobs were like sitting ducks. They would send you men out to draw the enemy into the open and then they would send in the big guns and planes to take over. He told me how after a while over there, instead of a yellow streak, the men got a mean streak down their backs. Each day the streak got bigger, and the men became meaner. Everyone but you, Bill. He said how you stayed the same happy-go-lucky guy that you were when you arrived in Vietnam. And he said how you, of all people, should never have been the one to die. How lucky you were to have him for a friend. And how lucky he was to have had you. They tell me the letters I write to you and leave here at this memorial are waking others up to the fact that there is still much pain left from the Vietnam War. But this I know. I would rather to have had you for 21 years and all the pain that goes with losing you than never to have had you at all. Mom.
Vas-y, grave ou tard, tard, roule en once de taille. Hard est le nombre de mecs qui jettent sur mes rails. T'es dans le groupe.
But it was fascinating because as I watched the numbers go down and realized what was happening, you almost had a sense of unreality.
Recouverts de stickers. Des pickpockets sont susceptibles d'agir. Tu entends venant des speakers. Protège ton oseille, les freins grincent sur les rails et irritent tes oreilles. Lorsque tu empruntes mes corridors aux odeurs cadavériques, prends la correspondance. Je suis une souterraine galerie.
Are fully aware that what goes up must come down. The testing of landing gear and brakes is a complex science. In South Bend, Indiana, massive rigs provide accurate tests for airplane struts of all sizes. After being lifted into position, the tire and gear are dropped, and measurements indicate efficiency of the hydraulic shock absorber, which limits rebound after impact. The lifting device is loaded to equal the weight of the plane or portion of load carried by the strut under the most severe landing conditions. The hydraulic apparatus sliding on vertical rails releases the gear at any desired height above the floor. Additional information is obtained through tests with a brake dynamometer. At the control panel, automatic recording instruments provide an engineer with required data as the airplane wheel is pulled into contact with the 38,000-pound dynamometer flywheel, already brought up to the desired speed. The maximum is 120 miles an hour. Moving graphs accurately record performance for later analysis. The brake under test is applied, stopping the flywheel in 14 seconds. This is equivalent to stopping a 30,000-pound airplane in less than 1,000 feet. In such experiments, brakes undergo terrific punishment. On airfields all over the world, hundreds of transports and military craft come in each hour. Landing is mere routine for passengers. But 8 perfectly functioning brakes are required to bring this plane safely to the end of its flight. Through such tireless research, popular science has made possible our miraculous air age. Golden Pike.
specific. You still there?
Yep.
Okay, if it's not ethno-specific, you do agree that it was created?
Oh, AIDS is, in my opinion, AIDS is definitely created. It's created in a laboratory. And there's no doubt about that, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the host of these other, quote, infectious diseases that have suddenly appeared on the scene, I think that if you want to say that, you know, unless you believe that God is spontaneously mutating viruses to infect human beings, which I don't believe, or that evolution is somehow pushed in that direction, which I don't believe, you have to then account for how did all these viruses, which have suddenly appeared on the scene in the last 20 years, and have jumped species, how did they get...
And stop pounding those bands. Tell me the whole bizarre story.
Well, yes, I suppose I can tell you, but the public must never know.
Down.
It was long before I met you, Doctor.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Went to Mecca.
You were in Afghanistan.
I was wearing Stanley's Afghan.
I was playing the Outer Islands with a small theatrical company. We were holed up in a rattan festooned pension in Goonrot.
Really? Oh, rat infestation.
You see, Claxon, if they don't chew, their teeth grow through their brains.
How very incisive.
It was a close and muggy day. There had been 3 muggings in the lobby since dawn. I wisely kept to my room, but there came a sudden beating at my door.
Oh, what? Well, I'll get it.
No, it's part of the story. I rose unsteadily to my feet, took careful aim with my trembling Wembley, and as the door swung open...
Good morning, Mrs. Moriarty.
I fired point blank.
Oh, Mrs. Moriarty, my dear lady, let me help you.
Look at this great V in my chest.
Are you hurt?
Ah, faith and Gomorrah, doctor. By the blood of St. Menzies, I'm from Ireland, and as you're to duckin' bullets, as you are to duckin' billets.
Oh, well, yes.
And here's last month.
We'll squeeze out your rent as soon as Fleet Street runs our latest penny dreadful through the press. Don't worry.
I never worry, Mr. Stones, especially when there's a high-heeled foreign lady and her heathen servant waiting for you on the footpad below.
A case at last.
We'll show her up.
I'd be glad to. Mr. Stones, I'll see you now. Oh, you cheap whore.
Oh, she's been nipping at the rat cheese again.
Hide your juice that we're about to be entertained by an American ingenue from upstate New York.
How the deuce do you deduce that?
The taps on her shoes, footman. They resounded a frequency produced by a unique alloy of aluminium and magnesium manufactured in Chicago, but shuffled off to Buffalo.
First stage ignition occurs after the lasers have been fired at the revolving bubble target. Striking at the deuterium within and causing it to implode or compress adiabatically. The imploding activity occurs under the speed of light and causes the vast spaces between the deuterium electrons and protons to shrink considerably. Even so, about 80% of the laser energy passes through the spaces between the particles and individual atoms and is lost. In the second stage of ignition, the 80% of the laser energy that normally would be lost strikes the parabolic mirror composed of mercury, which refocuses and reflects it in the form of a cone of energy that is more concentrated than the original laser beams. This fine focused reflected energy cone strikes the already imploding plasma for a second time. This time the space between the particles has shrunk to a point at which nearly all of the remaining laser energy is involved in the second ignition. The second ignition of the imploding plasma increases its compression by as much as 100,000%. The glass of the bubble, carbon dioxide, and mercury are all vaporized and become part of the created plasma. After secondary ignition, the containment bottles take over the task of containing the plasma. Electrons are electronically siphoned off the plasma until it produces the best monopolar gravitational field possible. Any plasma leakage will take place at the bottle ends and therefore only leak into another containment bottle. The moving plasma eventually forms into the shape of a sphere, which is the minimum free energy configuration. It then becomes totally stable and holds itself together by its own internal forces.
And see, that was another example, because I didn't want them tithing to me, because I didn't want I like to give. I have to outgive people. That's a contest that I continually enter, is outgiving people. And so what I did is I invented a weekly newsletter for the people that tithe to me, and the purpose of the newsletter is to double their income regularly. See, if I increase the person's income 10% per year, then they're breaking even on their tithes to me, right?
In the future.
Yeah.
I wonder if the younger generation coming along, which feels rather morally numb, is not seeking somehow or another to explain itself through this war. They are very struck when you show them the Stalin's photographs, struck by the bad photography, and the other thing is this mask. Have you tried that at all, tried this book on any students?
I haven't used this particular book, but this is the sense of shock they have when they see war pictures.
I wonder, there's another phase of this about stupidity and so forth. Of course, one of the interesting things is that Mrs. Tuchman's book, The Guns of August, has apparently become a favorite present of President Kennedy. This Washington Post account, he gave a copy of it to Prime Minister McMillan, gave a copy of it to General Gavin, the U.S. ambassador to France, and so forth. He recommends it to others. And the Washington Post, having described what he calls your masterful presentation, says, perhaps more pertinent to the president's interest is the story in this volume of the failures of military planning and the mistakes of the generals and politicians, what Mrs. Tuchman calls the inherent ifs, errors, and commitments. This could, of course, suggest another fascination with this war, namely the suggestion that we might blunder ourselves into the same kind of thing again. That's what I read into this.
Yes, I do too.
Kind of interesting. Yeah.
Thinking in a very new way, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, and it's breathtaking. No, physics is advancing so rapidly that we have concrete measurements. The Hubble Space Telescope, by the way, has even given us indirect maps of dark matter. We even have maps showing that it weaves in and out of galaxies and surrounds galaxies.
I think you may be on a cordless phone, and you're sort of going in and out of a little bad area there.
I mean, the real fundamental question is, how does a virus of one species alter itself and jump into another species?
As I take my seat, and we challenge on racial profile, and challenge this executive order, and challenge the decentralization of policing that you will hear throughout this afternoon, ought to be in the hands of the community. Whereas the Conyers bill said we ought to have the power to call them into accountability, with civilian complaint review boards with power.
That's right. We
ought to have the power
yes, sir,
to question those we pay and question those that take oaths of office. We're not anti-police, but we are anti-police brutality. We are anti-crime, and we fight criminals whether they have on blue jeans or blue uniforms. A criminal is a criminal.
.3, somewhere in your imagination. So according to science, you never exactly hit the 90.3. And of course, we don't either on this side. But it somehow averages out according to the phenomenon of cogitation. The big spinning wheel inside the big arena. That's so, oh, so variable. Some talk about the good and the bad cogitation. Or the more or less real thoughts. And of course their counterpart twins, the emotions. And then of course there's knowing. Temporary freeze frames. Oh, so variable. Out of Newton. Fitting right into the picture of Sam. Gary Geiserman strapped onto it. Leather patches to protect myself from thigh burns. Current matrix being what it is and all. Then there's the idea of new metaphysics, the so-called logo of the ambient space. Somewhere in that picture would be sponsors, ads, and some spaces that is the space. With a little programming tied up front, like a carrot, of course. And somewhere in there would be the audience. I guess that would be like the listeners. Or the watchers, depending on what troika of sensibilities you like to hook on with, as it were. Of course, we could add various more add-ons, riding on the back. 90.3 FM, the approximate loci of this side, hermetically reproduced on your side by by some kind of a machine. Talking back to this side by the very usage of the electron train used to feed the simulated living machine on your side. Life being what it is and all. In and without the Matrix, of course. Co-created by Sir Isaac Newton, set under a tree in downtown Newton, Massachusetts, and cooked up quite a story for us. All mapped out, Hitchcockian style. And that Frenchman wrote the music for it, René, when he wasn't doing S&M films, of course. Gary Geiserman here, sitting tall in the back side of the saddle, head to the breeze, leather patches to the metal, and I'll be here into the future, as we're running, that is, time being what it is and all. Around here, even in the Matrix, we have time. Or is it one over time? 617-552-4686. So far, GaryG4@Mac.com on the overhead. And .org on the WZBC, probably not functioning as I speak due to an invasion of the chaos factor.
Morning, I wrote a cosmic letter to Dr. King. I only met him two or three times when I was a young boy. I certainly don't know him as well as some here. But I thought since we were coming here today that I wanted to send him a cosmic note, because I believe that he is somewhere watching to see what has become of those he gave his life for. I want him to know that Mrs. King is still on her post. They've attacked her and they've ridiculed her, and some of us have even been mean to her, but Dr. King, she's still on her post. She's still upholding her vows. You'd be proud your children are all walking in step. But in many ways, we owe you an apology, because some of us have allowed your dream to be deferred. Some of us have taken out our own personal self-aggrandizement rather than a public mission. And we owe you an apology, because you gave us so much. We gave back sometimes disgraceful behavior. We've got some of our young men calling our women out their name and bragging about it. We've got some of our old folks acting as if they have no responsibility to build a beloved community. But Dr. King, I still believe that your dream will come true. Some say dreams are for those that sleep, but that's not true. Because everybody sleeping doesn't dream. Most folks sleep, just snore and roll over. It takes vision to dream. It takes the ability to see what's there and then see what's not there and then make what's not there become a reality in your own time. Only men of vision and women of vision can dream. And I'm glad Martin Luther King dreamed, because he dreamed. We were not limited by the realities of white racism. We broke out the box and saw ourselves as we never saw ourselves before. And we make this commitment as we leave this place, the landmark of the dreamers. 37 years later, one day E. Randall Osborne said to me, "You know, there's some strange irony. 37 years later, we do the march. In the first book of the Bible, the 37th chapter, there were some men meeting around a hole. They looked up and saw their brother coming. And when they looked up, they said, 'Here comes the dreamer. Let us slay him and see what becomes of his dream.'" America looked up while the brother, Martin Luther King, stood up against the war in Vietnam, stood up and called for poor people to come to this city and engage in dislodging in a nonviolent, creative way government with civil disobedience. And they said, "Let us slay him and see what will happen to his dream." Well, we come back 37 years later to say his dream is intact. That we still believe. We're still on the move. We're still going to struggle. We'll never back down. We'll never sell out. We're going to hold on until we make the dream a reality.
Similar to the way the sun holds itself together. A description of this type of spacecraft and its means of propulsion was telepathically transmitted to someone on the Earth in about 1100 AD. At that time, this description was set down in the Kabbalah. The telepathic receiver, lacking an understanding of atomic particles, magnetism, and gravity, reported about a flying craft with energy contained in shells, like seashells, that spun in a circle. He or she concluded the description of this craft by stating, "Someday the great serpent will put its tail into its head and the forces of good and evil will be balanced."
That's true, but you still got to get the experimental in there and be willing to take the risk that maybe you can't handle it. What does that mean? Follow somebody else's program? Okay. Hypnotizability in the last century was an authoritarian kind of thing. Charcot and Genet and so on wore their long coats and walked down the ward and gave people programs, and they followed them. And so they were great hypnotists. Nowadays, it's become a much subtler process, and hypnotherapy has developed way beyond this authoritarian aspect. And most of the hypnotherapists I know say, look, I'm not doing anything but preaching a condition and a permission for you to change your state of consciousness. You're doing it. And so the term auto-suggestion comes in, and the auto-training kind of construct comes in, and the self-programming comes in. Definition to neural ones, hypnotizable,
it's a talent
rather than that you spread, it's an ability to shrink, spread,
are moving out, and I need to find two new roommates by the first of the month. It's become very difficult. I've become quite close to my roommates, and now they're moving on, moving into their futures and their opportunities and their dreams. As I sit behind, hopefully to follow my future opportunities and dreams. But somehow lately I haven't been able to get up and walk out of the darkness. No matter how dark and how scared I get, I just can't leave it. It's soothing. Today, four people came over to look at the apartment. A man by the name of Jeff. Two women by the name of, I believe, Jessica and Rebecca, and then another man by the name of Greg, all coming into my home, strangers I've never met before, coming into my darkness. And actually, I found it quite provocative. Having strangers in my house. Having to put on the act, a specific personality to suit theirs. Because after all, I'll be living with these people, and I'll have to get along with them.
Yeah, the Hubble Space Telescope has given us maps of dark matter, because light bends when it goes through dark matter.
Uh-huh.
You may have seen that movie Predator with the invisible monster.
You bet.
The monster moved, it distorted light, and so you could see the outline of the monster as it moved.
That's right.
Going to be the defense if we went to trial.
State of Wisconsin versus Jonathan Kinney, 95, CF 97. Appearances and the purposes.
Jonathan Kinney's case never went to trial. He pleaded guilty to charges of concealing a corpse. Not long after Jonathan's arrest, his father took a job transfer and moved the rest of the family to Texas. I never saw them again. After his family left, Jonathan, a dyslexic teenager with a fourth-grade reading ability, faced the court alone with his lawyer and faces prison by himself.
My only hope is that we make a sentence here today to use as a deterrent to gang violence. And for that reason, I believe that the only sentence that I can make here today is sentence you to the maximum of 10 years in the state prison system, which is precisely what I'm going to do.
You know, that's the story as it's told sort of by the fundamentalist Christian sects. The other aspect of this, too, is that a lot of that history has already taken place, and that the Antichrist was, in fact, Tiberius, who did mark
right.
People with a 666 on the forehead, who did perform the abomination of desolation by setting up his headquarters inside the temple, had access to the Ark for a period of time. So I'm not quite sure, and I get a lot of flack for this because it goes against a lot of my biblical training, if you will, but I just don't think a lot of that's going to happen. I think that the prophecies of Daniel ended in 1844, and that now we're in the final phase between 1844 and the year 2040, which is when the messianic figure is scheduled to arrive. And I also am of the belief that the messianic figure is going to be a woman.
The question, as machinery comes to encase us, indeed the recent advertisements for interactive games and so forth massively put a human being into a mechanical array, and the question is, will that consumption by machinery be an enjoyable process or one of dismemberment?
Yes, and here's the last inspiration from this can.
Oh,
Mr. Hemlock Stones, I presume.
Oh, aren't you the presumptuous one?
Oh, am I?
Come in, but I would advise you to leave your man outside.
But without Monsieur Benway, I should be lost.
Elaine necessary, cause je remain ici.
Ah, Canadian.
Oh, Mr. Stones, I'm in a desperate fix. I need your help.
I'm in desperate need of a fix myself. I'll help you. Batman, take her purse.
Here, my dear.
Thank you, and my cloak, Doctor.
And her dress.
Oh, thank you, and my knickers. Thank you.
And your muff.
Oh, that's my muff.
Soccer blue.
Why, without your clothes, you're naked, Miss Dudley. Miss Violet Dudley, isn't it?
How did you know my moniker?
From the rather provocative initials on your knickers. And this scandalous article in tomorrow's Times.
Oh, let me see that. Farmer takes sprouts and rust. Oh, no. Oh, here it is. Senator Soubrette found naked in detective's flat. But I'm not flat. Look.
Oh, well, I'll just make a note of that.
Oh, make it a B note.
Make it a C note, miss, and we'll take the case.
But this is a case of the pox.
Not quite. Poxon, We're about to embark on the strange case of the missing...
Yes?
Plot.
Play that through, and then found out the director wasn't happy with what we did, we can then just use the undo key to then step through our editing to get back to where we were, and then maybe try out something different.
One of not knowing what you're doing, you suddenly find yourself in full career of an adventure. There's another one where one sets out responsibly and intentionally to perform the deed. For instance, when Ulysses' son Telemachus was called by Athene, go find your father. That father quest is a major hero adventure for young people. That is the adventure of finding what your career is, what your nature is, what your source is. He undertakes that intentionally.
James is amazing. He knows all the movie suicides. Go ahead, James, tell him.
There are so many.
Well, just a few, the big ones.
Pierre Angeli, 1971 or 72, also pills. Donald Redberry shot himself in 1980. Charles Boyer, 1978, pills again. Charles Butterworth, 1946, I think. in a car. Supposedly it was an accident, but, you know, he was distraught. Dorothy Dandridge, Pills, 1965. Albert Decker, 1968. He hung himself. He wrote his suicide note in lipstick on his stomach. William Inge, carbon monoxide, 1973. Carol Landis, Pills again. I forget when. George Reeves, Superman on TV. Shot himself. Gene Seberg, Pills, of course, 1979. Everett Sloan, he was good. Pills. Margaret Sullivan, Pills. Lupe Velez, a lot of pills. Gig Young, he shot himself and his wife in 1978. There are tons more.
I haven't heard of half of them.
You did them alphabetically.
It's just how my brain works, I guess.
Best monopolar gravitational field possible. Any plasma leakage will take place at the bottle ends and therefore only leak into another containment bottle.
I think that there's no war or no episode in history that so dramatically reveals the frailty of human plans and the operation of personality on history. And I think this is one reason, again, the public is so fascinated with the subject, because, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if you feel the same way about the American section that you covered, but certainly in the opening months, it's the fallibility of mere people and their plans, their perfect plans.
Of entropy.
Yes.
But neither rank nor reputation was enough to satisfy Dick Bird. He still wanted adventure. Adventure in the sky.
That
that's how we detect dark matter. The Hubble Space Telescope takes pictures of galaxies, and we see...
Messianic figure is scheduled to arrive, and I also am of the belief that the Messianic figure is going to be a woman.
Moving plasma eventually forms into the shape of a sphere, which is the minimum free energy configuration. Then becomes totally stable and holds itself together by its own internal forces, similar to the way the sun holds itself together. The description of this type of spacecraft and its means of propulsion was telepathically transmitted to someone on the Earth in about 1100 AD. Someday the great serpent will put its tail into its head and the forces of good and evil will be balanced. The extraterrestrial spacecraft that use the propulsion system thus explained are capable only of interplanetary flight. They range in size from about 22 to 300 feet and are composed mostly of ceramic materials. Craft reported to be pie pan shaped are usually unmanned cargo drones. The extraterrestrials are able to rapidly traverse the spans of space that exist between the stars. The spacecraft they employ to accomplish their interstellar flights can carry a number of the smaller interplanetary craft previously described. The interstellar vehicles can accurately be called motherships. Star-shaped craft ranging from a quarter to 1.5 miles in length. Previously described. The interstellar vehicles can accurately be called motherships. These cigar-shaped craft ranging from a quarter to 1.5 miles in length utilize a totally different type of propulsion system called the egg beater drive because of the shape of the wake of energy emitted from its propulsion system. The basis of this new type of propulsion is called manipulated light. good morning out there. And good morning to you. Unlike the rest of the Matrix, I am not going to say good morning or good evening. I have the right, the privilege, the decisiveness, and the choice is all mine. Out of the Newton, the WZ, emulating the fatherland, capitalizing the names of physical objects. FM WZBC. Some radio emissions. Looking for you. According to an agreement made before either was born. Of course, now that it's happening, it can re-reflect back on the prior agreement made before either was born. Which apparently is still intact, since this is happening now. Gary Geiserman attached to it. Open at your own viral peril, of course. Don't have to tell you. Mr. and Mrs. Electronic Environment. Fill in missive here. Put some sauce on it, like I would do. And don't touch the exhaust pipes with your bare flesh, whatever you do.
The extraterrestrials state that each star-centered solar system is contained in what they describe as a lens. Such a solar lens extends to a point just beyond the orbit of the sun's farthest planet. The starlight we see in our sky is not visible outside our solar lens. That is, light as we know it exists and is visible only inside solar lenses, but not outside them. Between the solar lenses, the heavens are black. Light does not travel between the stars, but it does so instantly and in a totally different form. That is to say, it does not take light years for light to reach us from a distant star. It takes light longer to reach us from the boundaries of our solar lens than it takes the light from the most distant of stars to reach and enter those boundaries. The extraterrestrials discovered that if they could propel a spacecraft at a speed slightly greater than the speed of light and leave a solar lens at that speed, they could traverse the vast distance between their departure lens and the destination lens in the blink of an eye. It is as if the distance between the two lenses did not exist.
people who've been involved in automobile accidents, for example, tell me that you seem like you're almost divorced from reality. You're floating up in the air someplace, sort of looking down at all the chaos around you. And that was sort of like the impression that I had when I was sitting here right in the middle of all this chaos and all these billions and hundreds of billions of dollars being lost. It was almost like, wow, could this really be happening? I know that sounds a little strange, but that's the way I reacted to it.
Atticus Finch. Oh, that makes me feel so good.
I like him.
Why?
Well, he's honest.
Yes.
He stands up for the right thing.
Yes.
And he's a good father.
He is.
All by himself.
Did what all by himself?
Raised his kids.
He didn't raise them by himself. Excuse me, who was the woman that came to their house every day?
Calpurnia.
And
what about Boo?
What about Boo?
Don't you feel like
I think that Boo Radley is one of the most interesting characters in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mom, tell me more about Livia.
She killed everybody else, or son Tiberius could inherit the throne. Just like Nixon.
It's awful. The same stories. Shakespeare, you know, like those plays we went to see at the Old Globe.
Anita?
Hey, Mom.
Want something to eat?
Oh, no thanks. I already ate.
Are you sure? I made soy cutlets.
I'm fine. I already ate.
Wait. You've been kissing.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have. I can tell.
You can't tell.
Not only can I tell, I know who it is. It's Daryl. What you got under your coat?
It's unfair that we can't listen to our music.
It's because it is about drugs and promiscuous sex.
Simon and Garfunkel is poetry.
Yes, it's poetry. It is the poetry of drugs and promiscuous sex. Honey, they're on pot.
First it was butter, then it was sugar and white flour, bacon, eggs, bologna, rock and roll, motorcycles. Then it was celebrating Christmas on a day in September when you knew it wouldn't be commercialized. What else are you gonna ban?
Honey, you want to rebel against knowledge. I'm trying to give you the cliff notes on how to live life in this world.
We're like nobody else I know.
I am a college professor. Why can't I teach my own kids? Use me.
Daryl says that you use knowledge to keep me down. He says I'm a yes person and you are trying to raise us in a no environment.
Well, clearly, no is a word Daryl doesn't hear much.
I can't live here. I hate you. Even William hates you.
I don't hate her.
You do hate her. You don't even know the truth.
Sweetheart, don't be a drama queen.
Fuck you!
Hey!
This is a house of lies!
There it is. Your sister used the F word.
I think she said feck.
What's the difference?
A lot of you.
Thank you.
looking at you.
The argument against is that because some people get cavities, we don't pull everyone's teeth. That the fact that there are some diseases of this tissue don't begin to warrant doing a procedure on all male babies. That if you look at the long-term outcomes of circumcision, that cancer of the penis, for example, is so rare that circumcising 100,000 babies to prevent one or two cases is absurd, both in terms of cost and benefits, in terms of use of medical resources, and even in terms of harms to patients. The opponents of circumcision also say that there is a real loss, that the foreskin in fact has a function, that it does enhance sexual experience, that it's part of the way nature made us, and that it's a procedure done without informed consent, that it causes real pain, that the only reason that it's tolerated is because it's done behind closed doors, that parents don't know what really happens to their babies, and that it's actually much closer to female circumcision or genital mutilation than we would like to think.
Our colors turning bright, black, all colors white. This time running out, how we still connected in silence.
And the concept of entropy.
Yes, but it's a rather subtle one. Entropy means a totally random process. Slower than a little bit.
As the concentrations of dark matter, it gets larger or smaller. And by the way, that's how we picked up a wandering black hole last year. We saw the stars distort, and we said, ah, a black hole, a very small distortion. It's a wandering black hole. And that was picked up last year. And that, of course, is quite dangerous. A wandering black hole would really unmake your day if you bump into one.
I'm going to tell you a story. You hear about Bad Johnny.
Life on the line.
It's okay. All right. Now, Bad Johnny, he was in grade school. All right. His teacher said, now, her name was Miss Williams, is what her name was. All right. But I was in the same class with him. Boy, he was an honor little fart. I know that there. But teacher, he kept on acting up in class. And he started acting like an idiot. And the teacher said, now, look here, son. I'm taking you down here to the principal's office. You don't straighten your act up because, well, you've been really messing up. And you're flunking class. Little Johnny, he started laughing. She said, don't laugh, I'm serious. All right, she takes him up to the desk, opens up the drawer, and she starts hiding things behind her back. She said, now, I got something green. It's pretty good size, and it's in my hand. Now, what is it, Johnny? He said, it's an apple. She said, nope, it's a grape. Great big grape. Wow. So she throws it down in a trash can. She reaches off in there again. She pulls out a plum, puts it behind her back. She says, it's kind of red and fuzzy. Now, what do you think it is, Johnny? He said, it's a cherry. She said, nope. Johnny, I'm telling you right now, you're going to the principal's office. He said, well, listen, teacher, now I got a quiz for you. She said, I got something long and hard in my pocket. She said, now I know you're going to the principal's office. Come on. She tried to grab him by the arm, drag him to the principal's office. Johnny started laughing. He yanked out his pencil. He said, no, teacher, but I like that you're thinking. That was my pencil.
Wow. I better get to some real details, you see, because just saying, I believe in freedom is vacuous. There's so many different freedoms you could believe in, and they conflict with each other. So the real political question is, which are the important freedoms, the freedoms that we must make sure everybody has? And now I will give my answer to that question for the particular area of using software. A program is free software for you, a particular user. You have the following freedoms. First, well, freedom zero is the freedom to run the program for any purpose, any way you like. Freedom one is the freedom to help yourself by changing the program to suit your needs. Freedom two is the freedom to help your neighbor by distributing copies of the program. And freedom three is the freedom to help build your community by publishing an improved version so others can get the benefit of your work. If you have all these freedoms, the program is free software for you. Most programs will at least give you freedom zero. And Freedom Zero follows legally as a consequence of Freedoms 1, 2, and 3. That's the way copyright law works. So the freedoms that distinguish free software from typical software are Freedoms 1, 2, and 3. So I'll say more about them and why they are important. Freedom 1 is the freedom to help yourself by changing the software to suit your needs. This could mean fixing bugs, could mean adding new features, could mean porting it to a different computer system. It could mean translating all the error messages into Navajo. Any change you want to make, you should be free to make. Now, it's obvious that professional programmers can make use of this freedom very effectively. But not just them. Anybody of reasonable intelligence can learn a little programming. You know, there are hard jobs and there are easy jobs. And most people are not going to learn enough to do hard jobs. But lots of people can learn enough to do easy jobs, just the way, you know, 50 years ago, lots and lots of American men learned to repair cars, which is what enabled the U.S. to have a motorized army in World War II and win. So, very important, having lots of people tinkering. So, and if you're a people person and you really don't want to learn technology at all, that probably means you have a lot of friends and you're good at getting them to owe you favors. And some of them are probably programmers. So you can ask one of your programmer friends, would you please change this for me? Add this feature? So, lots of people can benefit from it. Now, if you don't have this freedom, it causes practical material harm to society. It makes you a prisoner of your software. I explained what that was like with regard to the laser printer. You know, it worked badly for us, and we couldn't fix it because we were prisoners of our software. But it also affects people's morale. You know, if the computer is constantly frustrating to use, and people are using it, their lives are going to be frustrating. And if they're using it in their jobs are going to be frustrating. They're going to hate their jobs. And, you know, people protect themselves from frustration by deciding not to care. So you end up with people whose attitude is, well, I showed up for work today. That's all I have to do. If I can't make progress, that's not my problem. That's the boss's problem. And when this happens, it's bad for those people, and it's bad for society as a whole. That's freedom one, the freedom to help yourself. Freedom two is the freedom to help your neighbor by distributing copies of the program. Now, for beings that can think and learn, sharing useful knowledge is a fundamental act of friendship. When these beings use computers, this act of friendship takes the form of sharing software. Friends share with each other. Friends help each other. This is the nature of friendship. And in fact, this spirit of goodwill, the spirit of helping your neighbor voluntarily, is society's most important resource. It makes the difference between a livable society and a dog-eat-dog jungle.
It is an ill day in Asgard,
sighed Loki, keeping his eye warily upon the giant.
And a stormy one in the world of men. I heard the winds howling and the storms rushing on the earth as I passed by. Some mighty one has stolen the hammer of our Thor. Is it you, Thrym, greatest of all giants? Greater than Thor himself.
This the crafty one said to flatter Thrym. for Loki well knew the weakness of those who love to be thought greater than they are. Then Thrym bridled and swelled with pride, and tried to put on the majesty and awe of noble Thor. But he only succeeded in becoming an ugly, puffy monster.
Here's a theory for you to disregard completely. Music, you know, true music, not just rock and roll, it chooses you. You know, it lives in your car or alone, listening to your headphones with vast scenic ridges and angelic choirs in your brain. You know, it's a place apart from the vast, benign lap of America.
It's quite an honor to have the world's greatest rock critic and editor of Cream magazine back home in San Diego for a few days. Lester Bangs.
The Doors? Or Jim Morrison? He's a drunken buffoon, posing as a poet.
I like the Doors.
Give me the Guess Who. Come on, they got the courage to be drunken buffoons, which makes them poetic. Give me some White Light, White Heat. Iggy Pop! Amen! I just put this on. This isn't on your playlist,
Lester,
either.
Don't you think it's a little bit early for that?
Not for me.
Okay, well, that was Lester Bangs. This is Alice Wisdom, and here's Iggy Pop.
You're the kid who's been sending me those articles from the school newspaper.
Yeah. I've been doing some stuff for a local underground paper also.
Hey, what, are you like the star of your school?
They hate me.
Yeah. Well, you'll meet them all again on their long journey to the middle. You know, your writing is damn good. It's just a shame you missed out on rock and roll. It's over.
Over?
It's over. I mean, you got here just in time for the death rattle. Last gasp. Well, that's grope.
At least I'm here for that.
Yeah, what do you type on?
Smith Corona Galaxus Deluxe.
Hey, you like Lou Reed?
The early stuff. In his new stuff, he's trying to be Bowie. He should just be himself.
Take drugs?
No.
Smart kid. I used to do speed. You know, and sometimes a little cough syrup. I stay up all night, just writing and writing. I mean, like 25 pages, a dribble. You know, about the Faces or Coltrane. You know, just to fucking write.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's been nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, keep sending me your stuff. Sorry, I just can't stand here all day talking to my many fans.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, because once you go to L.A., you're going to have friends like crazy, but they're going to be fake friends. You know, they're going to try to corrupt you. You know, and you got an honest face, and they're going to tell you everything. But you cannot make friends with the rock stars.
Okay, fine.
If you're going to be a true journalist, you know, a rock journalist, first, you'll never get paid much. But you will get free records from the record company. Nothing about you that is controversial, man. God, it's gonna get ugly, man. They're gonna buy you drinks. You're gonna meet girls. They're gonna try to fly you places for free, offer you drugs, and I know it sounds great. These people are not your friends. You know, these are people who want you to write sanctimonious stories about the genius of rock stars, and they will ruin rock and roll and strangle everything we love about it. Right? And then it just becomes an industry of cool. I mean, I'm telling you, you're coming along at a very dangerous time for rock and roll. You know, that's why I think you should just turn around, go back, you know, and be a lawyer or something. I can tell from your face that you won't. I can give you $35. Give me 1,000 words on Black Sabbath.
An assignment?
Yeah. You have to make your reputation on being honest and
Yeah, unmerciful. Honest. Unmerciful. Yeah, if you get into a jam, you can call me. I stay up late.
Like him, we're going to teach America what the reality is. See, I know, Martin, why they profile us. Yes, some because it's racism, others because they're ordered. But then some pull us over because they don't really know who we are. If you knew who we were, you couldn't pull us over like that. If you knew that when mathematics first entered the universe, that we were the ones that weighed geometry and figured out trigonometry, if you knew who we were and knew that philosophy emanated from our minds, astrology was our imagination, that the three major religions on the planet started in our continent, you don't know who we are. But let me tell you who we are. We're not some drug traffickers. We're not some people slick and hustling. We're the children of warriors, the children of role models. We're Harriet Tubman's children. We're Sojourner Truth's children. We're Martin Luther King's children. We're Malcolm's children. Don't mishandle us. Don't misuse us. We're royalty. We got the veins of God running through our bodies. We won't back down. We won't sell out. There is a God that still sits high and he looks down low. He'll make a way just like he did for Martin. He'll make a way for us. Redeem the dream. Redeem the dream. Redeem the dream.
Gee, I like to do a one-quarter torque on the truth myself. Or is it a 0.68 degree turn? Definitely not a U-turn. That's a little too symmetrical for my taste. Of course, you can do a partial turn and a differently partial return. Tripping the light fantastic on the double recursive. My personal fave. Perennial number one, if you're hierarchicking, which I don't take a cotton to myself, but if you're audio insing and ambient echo returning on the singularity and happen to live in the matrix, you may not be able to help yourself. W the ZBC, a left turn from the left side of the non-commercial end of the college radio row dial on the non-MP3'd radio signal, compressed, of course, for your radioing. New metaphysics. The Right Honorable. The Major. The Gary Geiserman right here. doing the It's My Show routine, and I can do whatever I want to kind of thing. However old that might get in the quick half-life of the Western launching pad entertainment industry, United States of Vespucci Land. 90.3 on your counting device, abacus or sundial of some kind, or perhaps a archetypal derivative of elemental nature. Looking at it from underneath, that is. Every and each third day night. I wasn't on last week. I'll be on next week. And of course, I'm doing everything in my power to not be here tonight. Familially speaking, of course.
Which you are thrown and pitched, for instance, being drafted into the army. You didn't intend it, but you're in. You're in another transformation. You've undergone a death and resurrection. You put on a uniform. You're another creature.
So does the heroism have a moral objective?
The moral objective is that of saving a people or saving a person or saving an idea. He is sacrificing himself for something. That's the morality of it. Now, you, from another position, might say that something was something that should not have been realized, you know. That's judgment from another side. But it doesn't destroy the heroism of what was done. Absolutely not.
Well, that's a different angle on heroes than I got when I was reading, as a young boy, the story of Prometheus going after the fire and bringing it back and benefiting humanity and suffering for it.
I mean, Prometheus brings fire to mankind and consequently civilization. That's, by the way, a universal theme.
What is?
The hero, the fire theft theme usually with a relay race after it. Often it's a blue jay or a woodpecker or something like this that steals the fire and then passes it on to something else, one animal after another. And they're burned by the fires as they're carrying it on, and that accounts for the different colorings of animals and so forth. It's a worldwide myth, the fire theft.
Do these stories of the hero vary from culture to culture?
Well, it's the degree of the illumination that or action that makes him different. There is a typical early culture hero who goes around slaying monsters. Now, that is in the period of history when man is shaping his world out of a wild, savage, unshaped world.
Number six, actually. 14 à. Vous pouvez vite poser dans notre gare.
Yeah, they've progressed, but actually many of the techniques that have been developed many years ago are still in practice today. They've been refined. When you're recognizing speech, there's various different layers of modeling that you have to do. You have to understand the relationship between the actual acoustic sounds and what the phonetic elements or the basic units of speech that we use are, and then how those phonetic elements can be combined together to make words, and then also how you might string words together, like what is a plausible sequence of words that might be spoken.
So we finished editing the effects. Now let's go through and mix that voiceover in with the rest of the commercial. Here's the new voiceover track, and I'm going to apply some dynamic automation, so I place the fader into write mode using my automation status. I then have my stereo music groups and my stereo effects groups. So I'm going to go through, place them into an update mode, but as there's a previous mix in there, I'm actually going to place them into trim mode. I can also change the display mode here, so I can now view the amount of delta change or relative change I'm applying to those faders.
So all these different layers go into a speech recognition system. They have to be integrated. And so there has been some improvements in these modeling techniques over the year. But by and large, many of the techniques that were in place 10, 15 years ago are still being used today.
David, now, Hamoudi, are we going to get to the day soon where I know when I have, you know, I use speech voice recognition for dictation, you know, with IBM as a VoiceVoice product or other products out. I have to sit there for an hour and speak a vocabulary into the computer for it to recognize. Get to the day where we won't have to do that, or close to that?
We are actually very close to that. If you look at our latest product, essentially you can get to a speaker train customized for you in about 5 minutes. Don't need to wait an hour or so that used to happen 2 years ago. So we have come a long way even from 2 years ago, from 1 hour to 5 minutes. In many other applications, which is accessing services over the telephone where you don't really have time to train the system. The systems that are being built are speaker independent, mm-hmm. which means that you don't really need to train. You essentially call the service and you start talking and the system recognizes you very well because the system has been trained on a large number of users. That you don't really need to train. You essentially call the service and you start talking and the system recognizes you very well because the system has been trained on a large number of users. So most accents and dialects have been already absorbed through some sort of data absorbing mechanism and training that the system has.
About my dear?
Well, I've forgotten.
Why, give him the note.
Ile importante, give a him the secret massage, mamsel.
Oh, would you like a massage, Mr. Scone?
No, yes. Note es correcto.
Oh, the note. Oh, well, Benway found this mysterious billet doux in my dress this morning, Mr. Stones. I showed it to our Daddy Dudley, like I do every night. And he said I should show it to you. What do you think?
This is a rebus written in a simple head code. Any English schoolboy could catch it. Flotsam, yes. Pull down the simple English schoolboy's decoding manual.
Of course.
It's as clear as the nose on my face.
Violence. And for that reason, I believe that the only sentence that I can make here today is sentence you to the maximum of 10 years in the state prison system.
I then have full control of the panning on that track, and I can even bring that up on the pan window of Pro Tools to see exactly what I'm doing. I can change the automation status obviously on the track or also on the panner. So let's place it into automation write mode. I'm just going to solo the track up so I can hear it, and let's actually write the move itself. It's a simple move from rear left to front right. Now it's a little bit quick. If I want to update it and maybe do it slightly more accurate, I can hold the shift key, and at this time we're going to update at half speed. And again, I can now play back that automation. We can see it on the joystick panel, or we can see it on screen.
It's gone! Oh no! No, here it is in my hand. Now look this up.
Yes.
Two dancing boys, a tower and a tiny tortoise, minus a tin toilet, plus two heels, an L, and an electric eel.
Here it is. Long-toothed man, fears for brain, desires AC-DC connection.
There's our tune again.
Take tube, no professionals or phonies.
Is necked correct height?
Youth, you use initials only.
Is necked correct height?
Initials, Achtung!
Is necked correct
height? It's an official Mormon jigsaw, a German mix-up code.
Here, let me see that.
It's in the back of the book here. Write this down.
Of course, I will.
See, a V is a G and a B and a P. Violent Grugly.
Oh, Violent Dudley.
Dudley, a D is a G and a P is a B. Pick up Basel tonight.
What?
Parcel tonight. Dogs, curs. Curse of India. Curse of India.
Philippine pirate.
By my wanger. No, my wingnut. Know me by my tool. Perhaps that's instrument. Know me by my instrument. Yes.
So whether working in LCRS 5.1 or 7.1, we can just automate the panner for mono or stereo tracks for any channels across the console.
Hazen, when you told us to call your MIT the lab, there's a special phone number you can call and it'll give you the weather in any city around the world. How did you teach it to recognize the different voices of all the different people around the world who might be calling in?
Well,
here's from the Earth. Very close. A hop, skip, and a jump.
Great.
1,000 light years.
Great.
And it's wandering. And again, we have photographed it via the Hubble Space Telescope by looking at distortions of starlight. That's how we've gotten these maps of dark matter.
Do they wander
for distortions of starlight with the Hubble Space Telescope? Or we look at black holes having lunch. They eat whole star systems. And again, we have photographed star systems falling into a black hole.
So you see them when they eat.
Yeah, and if one came close to us, we probably would not see much for a while.
Yes.
And then we would start to pick up radiation, radiation from, a swirling matter that has been eaten up by the black hole.
Yes.
And as it got even closer, we begin to feel tugging on Pluto. Pluto would be hurled out of its orbit. Neptune and Uranus, we flung into outer space. And then we'd say to ourselves, holy mackerel, the solar system is falling apart.
Yeah.
Well, as David had mentioned, it's a process of data collection mostly. What you need to do is build the systems that we build are statistical in nature, meaning that we learn how sounds are produced based on observation of those sounds from training data. And if you need to recognize in a particular region or want to recognize a particular accent, you pretty much need to collect data from that accent.
This ties in with a discussion that we've been going on for quite a while now, the idea of the human or the thought process that we like to call our personalities, is this a containment? Are our bodies containers? Or is there consciousness without an object, as Franklin Merrill Wolfe postulates?
Entire generation of Cinderella's, and there's no slipper coming.
You want to get hot? Looking to get hot?
All I have to do.
And if I double their income, then they're making a profit on their tithe to me. And that newsletter is an amazing phenomena, because when people get very close to succeeding, they drop out. They stop sending me money. It seems to be a phenomenon that people have to go through. It's like I become their parent substitute, and they get to the point where they can't make me wrong anymore, except by quitting. That's the only way they can make me wrong.
Evidence that I knew sort of firsthand, or had reason to believe that others had firsthand evidence of, that I thought that a very strong case might be made against. The ones that I was not as sure about were ones I put a question mark on.
Fruit of Hawaii's kings today are scientifically harvested for the markets of the world. Unique new machines with huge conveyor belts move about the fields, aiding armies of expert pickers to maintain production line efficiency on Hawaiian pineapple plantations. Along the belts advance endless parades of fruit, finally mature after 21 months of highly scientific cultivation. Such factory methods characterize every stage in the annual production of 15 million cases of pineapple, 90% of the world's crop. Battalions of trucks are rapidly loaded by the giant harvesters, fed with steady streams of fruit, 8 tons aboard. The truck is driven away, and another quickly takes its place. Specially designed machines speed the loading of millions of pineapples in Oahu, as well as Kauai, Maui, and Lanai. Lowering itself over the truck, the harvester moves with it through the fields. Thus, in a single operation, the golden fruit is gathered and loaded for ultra-modern Hawaiian canneries. Batteries of remarkable mechanisms in this Honolulu fruit cannery process the carefully selected pineapples at machine gun speed. Amazingly efficient are these machines, known as Janakas. which have revolutionized the industry, making possible real mass production. Perfect specimens of fruit from receiving docks ride escalators to each Janaka. They are mechanically guided to the highly versatile machine which trims away shells and extracts juice. It also shapes pineapple hearts to fit within cans. And finally, the Janaka removes fruit cores. Glass walls enclose trimming room. All pineapple products are untouched by human hands during the entire canning process. As sliced rings ride along, experts slice off bad spots and remove fruit eyes using knives equipped with so-called bird bills. In the vast final grading rooms, additional hundreds of highly trained women segregate and pack individual slices in the various grades. Highly ingenious machines bring atomic age efficiency to tranquil South Sea Isles. Thus, modern science prepares Hawaii's golden fruit for all the world to enjoy.
Deliver it. We can deliver it to DVD, to internet, or even via OMF back to an avid media composer. Console. So let's say the mix is now finished. We need to deliver it. Deliver it to DVD, to internet, or even via OMF back to an avid media composer. To do that, we simply hit our bounce key and then choose the actual file type, format, and even the number of channels are involved in that bounce, and off we go.
Suddenly, like taking a leisurely but somewhat orderly and controlled stroll down some sort of German street. You know, the ones that end in Platz, like Uber-Kommerzstadt Platz, something with many words compounded together with a sort of lilting, kind of consonant-heavy, poetic, echoing kind of collision involved. Somewhat echoing our current state of distorted popular view of things. But alas, all I could possibly do now, short of magic, is walk around in the streets of Newton. I said Newton, my friends. I didn't see any kind of jolting recognition on your part. Any kind of hesitating but respectful acknowledgement. So let's snap onto it, will ya? Otherwise, when the tally-taking toll man comes around your region, there could be some sort of a surcharge involved. And whenever there's a surcharge, you know that it's not interactive. You drifting me, man? Of course, I could just go to some sort of a Jewish enclave and just plot a la mode or a la carte and be done with it all till tomorrow when we shall meet again. 90.3 on the Big Z. It's kind of like three big scars in your forehead touching each other's ass end, forming a kind of geometric archetypal mark on ye. Down here out of Newton with the big man, Gary Geiserman, with spurs, so don't fuck with me, man. At 90.3 on the measurement stick. Just remember, man, it doesn't have to go all the way in to do the deed. I don't even know what the width is. That's a dimensional thing. GaryG4@Mac.com. Send me a love letter straight from hell. And WZBC.org. If, when, and where we're back on it. I think we're temporarily slid off that thing a little bit. You know, and all the drama and role-playing and kinky stuff and everything. Blindfold fell off, you know, all kinds of stuff. Don't worry. Nobody who can afford to would place their ad here. And it continues.
So as I mentioned earlier, Pro Control truly gives you access to every aspect of the Pro Tools software directly from the surface. We're now running our session in a manner that incorporates the touch and feel of a traditional console, yet retains all the power and integration of Pro Tools. It's all about getting Pro Tools out of the computer and underneath your fingertips.
Need to collect data from that accent.
There was this place where they lived, C.H. Jakarutu. That's where the other tribes banded and wiped out the Idualli. That was a long time ago.
Now, what we have done is we've made this system available to the public and we've advertised it. And because it's a free number, we've had thousands and thousands of people call, and we get a big cross-section of people, especially in the United States, and we've also had a number of international callers as well. So an unfortunate aspect of it is that it's the recognition is only really as good as the training data that you collect, but if you're able to collect a lot of it from many different speakers with many different accents, that is often enough to get by.
I think it's been scientifically verified, proven, and rammed home, as it were, by specialists at some specialist place like MIT, which has been proven to not really exist. I mean, you don't have first-hand knowledge of it, do you? At any rate, I believe there's sufficient data now, and it has been determined and embroiled and imbued into the fabric of the substrate that this voice that I'm using, with the help of certain metallic machinery and some strategically placed ceramic connectors, is an amalgamation of all speakers on Earth today. You're hearing it right now. It's in English. It has peculiarities and imparts strangeness upon the experiencer, according to the various quantum laws and so forth. There's a little strangeness there, adequately represented by this speaking voice you're hearing now. You might say you are listening to the voice of the planet, of the matrix itself, the simulated ad hoc variable version of all things, you might say. Of course, you'd have to listen instead of speaking, or you might miss it.
Now, let's do a test run. That's Scott Dowling of the MIT phone here. That's...
Hi. Welcome to Jupiter, the MIT Lab for Computer Science Weather Information System. This call is being recorded for system development. You may hang up or ask for help any time. How can I help you?
Yes, I'd like to know the weather for Cleveland, Ohio, please.
In Cleveland today, showers and chance of thunderstorms this morning. Rain heavy at times. Becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. High lower 80s. 80% chance of rain. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows mid 60s. What other information can I give you?
Can I order a pizza with anchovies?
In Charlotte this afternoon, partly cloudy with chance of showers and thunderstorms. High upper 80s, 40%.
Yeah, this.
I'm just cruel. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's understandable. This is an example of something where we built the system in a very specific domain, and people who really want to know the weather, yeah. When they call the system, they're pretty successful at getting the weather. Unfortunately, if you go outside the system or try to trick it.
With my lawyer, as a result of discussions he'd also had with some of the prosecutors.
Any significance to the star?
They're
all lawyers.
No, I that was just a reaction myself to the fact that how in God's name could so many lawyers get involved in something like this?
Well, it has another shape, but it's not the shape for man. He goes around killing monsters.
So the hero evolves over time, like most other concepts and ideas. And
well, he evolves as the culture evolves.
Yeah.
Now, Moses is a hero figure. In his ascent of the mountain, his meeting with Yahweh on the summit of the mountain, and coming back with the rules for the formation of a whole new society. That's the hero act. Departure, fulfillment, return.
So dangerous, Mr. Stone, sir. Could you go for me?
If you put on a little weight.
Oh, I'll wait forever.
Wait here. Wait, huh?
Weave us here.
Hmm? Flotsam, you shall be Violet Dudley.
What?
Get into a dress. Look for me in the pub in disguise.
Pub in disguise?
No. Down at the docks in Soho.
Oh, no. Oh, Stones, what's my next step to be?
A hornpipe.
Oh, a horny pipe.
This big grizzly bear, you see.
Anybody here want to contact the VD?
Look at the prow on that steamer.
That's the kind of big vermin I was telling you about, Tom.
Oh, well, let's climb aboard her.
I'm first.
I'm second, Matt.
Come here, Tits.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Come sit on the face of a refined man.
Oh.
I'm hooked on you, missy.
Get that gold hook out of there.
Oh, that's cute. Drop your anchor and half a pint of oil with Stinkin' Olaf.
Well, thank you, Captain Stinkin'. I would rather fancy an ale.
Stand back, honey. One fancy ale coming up.
Who forgot the glass? I can teach you a new disease I picked up in the Navy.
Well, perhaps another time, but I'm here to meet a friend.
Well.
Oh, there he is now.
Him, that ugly, burn-eyed, peg-leg, pork-skinned fiddler.
You find him attractive?
Well, I...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Excuse me.
Read out aloud every day. Use your voice. Within 10 days, it gets easier. I mean, we get so frightened of using our voice. So we have to work through it. We have to do the work through those fears. Make yourself read out aloud. Even if you get that transcript a few minutes before, try and just speak a bit of it out aloud. So the muscles of communication at least have been warmed. Now, again, we're going back to the breath and then I'll go to the word. When you get fast, it's because you're breathing ahead of your head. When people rush, it's because their voice and their breath have divided. In acting terms, we have a saying called being in the moment. You have to just mean what you say as you say it. When you get very, very nervous, it's like your head has trotted off and your mouth can't keep up. So you start sort of stumbling. Number one trick is to take the breath, and if you're feeling very nervous, even halfway through a presentation, adjust your shoulders. Nobody will see you. The other thing you can do is just very gently, quietly sigh out. As you sigh out, the breath calms down, and then you can start again. So number one trick, try and breathe slowly and deeply and calmly. And you can practice that again. You can, before you do the presentation, you can make yourself do it almost unbearably slowly. Do it almost unbearably slowly, and that will help the muscles remember what they have to do.
That would be unnerving. You would really see then the outer planets go first.
That's right. We would look for Pluto. We find out, my God, it's not there anymore.
You talk about that?
In one sense, yes, I can talk about it. In another sense, not at all.
It's what comes out of it. This is what gives you the shivers.
Mm-hmm. There's another element in this war, too, and I think it may have some bearing on the president's interest, although I couldn't presume to know what is in his mind. One of the things that I sense in my students at Columbia is a wish that somehow the world could be in their hands and under control again, which may be the other side of the coin of your students' remark that we're all mad.
Letters make them so mad that they quit. And so, and then some of them, when they get through that, then they start again, always at a higher rate. But the fact is that the number of participants in the Money Lose Letter gets smaller, and the amount of cash that I get gets bigger, which indicates that only the losers are dropping out. It's an interesting phenomenon. And so I invented a letter for losers. And I also invented a Loser of the Month program. The person that sends me the least amount of money, I send them $100 every month. With the Loser of the Month award letter.
Quite easy to trick. The reason for this is because it's been trained specifically for weather.
Right.
In the future, we'd like to be able to expand it so it has a much wider range of knowledge. Maybe it knows about sports scores, maybe it knows about stocks. But at the moment, the recognition technology is such that we can get much better performance if we restrict it to a specific domain.
Yeah, makes sense. We're talking about voice recognition.
I was treated by some nice people at the T.J. Watson Research Center in Yorktown Heights.
So the idea here was that when we took Palm, we designed a very nice attachment for it with good microphone, good speaker, because these are important. Mm. And also we built a key that you can push to talk to it, because we didn't want the system to be listening all the time. Then we looked at it and said there are some specific applications that Palm has designed, which is like the date book, the address book, the memo pad, and to-do list. And we started by trying to essentially make those things conversational.
Have you gotten
okay,
that?
I have something here that, that I can
that's
I can show
good.
You.
That's good. I want to
okay?
see that. Yeah.
All right. Date book. Top.
10 a.m. Meeting with Alfred Spectre.
Next.
3 p.m. Go to a meeting.
In this meeting, we are going to discuss the future of speech recognition.
That you have even notes in there that it's
exactly.
your own
so,
voice.
So what we have done, since the technology is only capable of, because this is a handheld device, it doesn't have all the resources to right. do large vocabulary speech recognition, we take notes, we can add notes. And I can actually show you here, for example, taking another note. So if I want, for example, add another meeting, I can do that. 6 p.m. Meeting. Begin dictation.
Press the microphone button to begin recording.
This is a test in the studio.
The dictation was 4 seconds in length.
So it's important, it's giving me a feedback that how long it took for the piece of voice that I entered there right. to just, for this thing. So if I say bottom.
6 p.m. Go to a meeting.
This is a test in the studio.
Very interesting.
So so there are a lot of other things.
It's not available yet at your local Radio Shack.
No, you can't get it yet at the local Radio Shack. But as you can see, it's very nicely designed with a lot of the user interface issues taken into consideration. After we did the four applications, the important application, we have created the tool. And we said, can we now use the tool to do something new?
All right, we're going to...
If you would like. So let's continue with that. Speech Suite. Open the pod bay door, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
It's my favorite movie. So you have even a little toy in there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have to have fun.
Let me go to the phones. 1-800-989.
Do a number of things today. I mean, one of which you mentioned earlier, which is the Via Voice dictation product, allowing people to type letters, which is quite helpful. That has also been very helpful for people with issues like dyslexia, as it can correct spelling and the like. We also have products that do things like enable you to browse the web just using your voice, especially helpful for people who are visually impaired. And then lastly, simply being able to control devices, like David was showing with the Palm Pilot, for example, can also apply to other household devices, as well as facilities like even wheelchairs and the like. So all those things are capable today.
Okay, John?
Who are you with?
Me? I'm with myself.
No, who are you with? What band?
Oh, I'm here to interview Black Sabbath. I'm a journalist. I'm not a, you know.
You're not a what? You're not a what?
Not a groupie.
Oh, groupie?
We are not groupies.
This is Penny Lane, man. Show some respect.
Groupies sleep with rock stars because they want to be near someone famous. We're here because of the music. We are Band-Aids.
She used to run a school for Band-Aids.
We don't have intercourse with these guys. We inspire the music. We're here because of the music.
You know, she was the one who changed everything. She was the one who said, no more sex. No more exploiting our bodies and our hearts.
Right, right.
Just blowjobs and that's it.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
It's all happening. Penny.
All lawyers.
No, I that was just a reaction myself to the fact that how in God's name could so many lawyers get involved in something like this?
What do the check marks indicate on the left-hand side of the paper?
I don't know.
Now, you have wrenches there and some other things there. I presume, what is that language on the right?
That was because I'd had earlier discussions with Ehrlichman and Haldeman about this, and they asked me what is obstruction of justice. So I dug out the obstruction of justice statutes, which are sections 371, which I believe is the conspiracy statute, and 1503, and put the sanctions beside them, 5 years and $10,000, and 5 years and $5,000. For potential obstruction of justice. When I took this list to Mr. Ehrlichman and Mr. Haldeman, Mr. Ehrlichman said, well, I may have to dig. He said, I don't think this sounds like an obstruction of justice. And I said, well, you may want to look at the statute. And I said, but particularly read the annotations to the statute, because I think you'll find some case law which indicates that obstruction of justice is as broad as the imagination of man to obstruct justice.
Been a test of a radio programming envelope. So whatever various sentient reactions you've had, you should know the most salient features were not included in that evaluation that you made. Because I assume you must know that. You've had a lot of experience with this sort of thing. And you know the difference between a copy and an emulation. You know the degrees of realness. You know about the eighth level. And you verify this, of course, according to the real test, which, of course, can't be quantified or explained back to you. It's not interactive. Your loving radio outlet, carefully designed.